Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Morning, everybody. My name is Dave McDonald, and I am a pastor in Michigan at a church called Westwinds. I'm the founder of the Fasares Chapter House, which is a charity that I run in Michigan where we train pastors from all over the world. Of course, I know many of you. I grew up at Calvary. My father, who recently passed on Father's Day, pastored the church for many years, and I would like to take just a moment to say a special thank you to pastors Steve and Susan for the remarkable job that they've done honoring my father and honoring his legacy and leading his church after his retirement. God bless you guys. You are my friends for life because of the way that you have treated him and treated our family. And so, I miss all of you. When I come and visit in Surrey, I like to drive down and through Fraser Heights and, you know, to go to Mom and Dad's place. I'm always driving by the church. And it still feels like home. So I'm happy to be with you today. I'm sorry that it's on video, but that's what we get, especially right now in the midst of all the COVID craziness. And what I'd like to address this morning is the topic, the presence of God. And I like to do it in a maybe a little bit different way than what we're used to. We don't usually think about it quite like this. And so there's going to be a little bit of Bible study today. If you got a Bible, we're going to be looking in the book of Genesis. You might want to read, if you're watching a video, you might want to pause, read the first four chapters of Genesis to get yourself prepared. And we're going to be looking primarily at the story of Cain in Genesis chapter 4. But you know what the presence of God is like. I mean, you've experienced it, whether it's in worship or whether it's in prayer, whether it's in quiet times off by yourself. You know when you feel that congealed sense of God's presence, like it's heavy around you, like a fog, like a cloak. You know, it changes everything. And it changes how you think. It changes how you feel. It changes the way that you relate to people. And you also know what it's like to sort of go through the motions and not have or not experience God's presence. You know that those things then feel flat or they feel forced. And I think there's good reason for that. Because the truth is, with God, things are a lot better. They're sweeter. They're more enjoyable. And I don't just mean like as a person of faith, you know, once you're a Christian, everything gets better. No, I just mean as a Christian, as somebody who loves and follows Jesus, when you are in step with the Spirit of Jesus, when you are walking in the presence of God Almighty, things are better because things are different. And again, there's good reason for that. So starting in the book of Genesis, you know, God creates Eden, the Garden of Eden, as an idealized environment for human beings, you and I, to flourish. And oftentimes we read those creation stories, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and we kind of go, okay, you know, God makes everything and then he gives it to us perfect. But that's actually not what the scripture teaches. The Bible tells us that creation is at least partially incomplete, partially unfinished. Not because God got tired or because God needed a rest. No, because God saved stuff for you and us, you and I to do. God has work for you and I to do. That's why we read about Adam naming the animals. I mean, God could have named the animals. God named Adam and Eve, but where else did their names come from? So why didn't God name the animals? Because he wanted Adam to do it. The scripture says that God was curious what Adam might name the animals. And it wasn't just naming animals that Adam and Eve had to take care of. Remember, they were given specific instructions, sometimes called the creation mandate or sometimes called the cultural mandate, that they're meant to fill the earth and to subdue it, to have dominion over all creation in God's name and for God's glory. Human beings are meant to cooperate with God in the administration of the world. That means we're supposed to develop. I mean, fill the earth means, you know, not only are we supposed to make more humans to do more of God's stuff, but we're supposed to subdue it, meaning we're supposed to exert our creativity, we're supposed to exert our government, we're supposed to exert our desires on the world, again, with God's help, for God's glory. The things we do when they're saturated by the presence of God, what we're told later, are offered up to God as a kind of praise. Now, I'm preaching too early, because right now we're just doing Bible study, and I'll slow down a bit, you know, so that you can go back to having non-intense Sunday services, but just think about it like this, okay? God, in the beginning, creates a perfect environment for people to flourish. And the way people are meant to flourish is in cooperative work with God. We work with God to heal the world. We work with God to build the world. We work with God to create a better world. That's foundational. Like literally, that's the foundation of the Holy Scriptures, is that God gave this world to you and I. That's his game plan. So the beginning, this is a phrase I want you to remember, is that God's game plan together with God's presence results in God's blessing. God's game plan and God's presence result in God's blessing. We work together to heal the world with God, for God, because of God. And as a result, we get to enjoy God, enjoy one another, and enjoy all that we've made. God's game plan, which is cooperative work with God, in God's presence, because it's cooperative work with God, results in God's blessing. But of course, things get off track, right? I mean, Adam and Eve, they don't do a great job with this game plan. God gives them a few instructions. They botch those pretty badly. They try and get back on track. They have a couple kids, Cain and Abel. Abel does a pretty good job staying on track. Cain does not. And when Cain is caught as somebody who's not going to go along with God's game plan, Cain gets increasingly angry. He murders his brother and lies about it to cover it up. And God ultimately, in Genesis chapter 4, God curses Cain. Here's what we're told in Genesis 4, verse 12. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Meaning what? Meaning you are no longer welcome in your original home. You got no people, you got no place, and you got nowhere to go. You don't got no home, and you can't stay here. So Cain leaves, and we're told that he goes east. He went away from the presence of the Lord, verse 16, and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Now, the land of Nod literally means the terror of the avenging angel. It's not a good place. Living in terror of an avenging angel is not, that's not where you typically go for family vacation, right? There's not great seashells there. Can't get you good poutine. No, this is a horrifying place. It's east of Eden. East in the scriptures is always the place of beginnings. This is a beginning again. Sometimes we glorify beginnings, but this is not a good beginning. In fact, Cain finds himself a fugitive in a place of perpetual beginnings. Every day he's got to start over and start over and start over and start over. And he starts over in the presence of terror of the avenging angel. I mean, this is a really crappy story for Cain because he screwed up God's game plan. He voided himself of God's presence, and now he experiences none of God's blessings. What was available to his family in Eden is now totally unavailable to Cain. He's got to start over, and so what does he do? Well, Cain knew his wife. Wait a minute. That means he slept with his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, a son. Now, wait a minute. What was the original creation mandate? To fill the earth and to subdue it. God's game plan involved like marriage and family. And so Cain he's getting back on the game plan. He's doing what he was supposed to do in Eden in the land of Nod. And then, and this is key, he built a city. And he called the city, pardon me, he called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And then it goes on to a big long list of people whose names we can't pronounce, and they do a bunch of stuff that'll become relevant later on. But I just want you to understand, Cain, starting over, tries to co-opt God's game plan. He's going to fill the earth, and now it goes on with the establishment of this city. He's going to subdue the earth, but he's going to fill the earth and subdue it without God's presence. He's got God's game plan without God's presence. And as we'll see over and over and over again, that means that he still doesn't access God's blessing. Because the land of Enoch and the land of all these other people is a land ripe with destruction, such that by the time we get to Genesis chapter 6, the Lord is so disgusted with the wickedness of humanity that he sends a great flood, like a planetary baptism, to purify the place and start over. Don't you see? Cain's got God's game plan now, but he still doesn't have God's presence, which means he's never going to be able to experience God's blessing. God's game plan is nothing without God. Now, your family is nothing without God's presence. Your work is nothing without God's presence. I mean, consider. I'll give you six examples of what happens when we don't have the presence of God at the very center of who we are. Because it's not enough to just do the right things. We have got to be people walking in step with God's Holy Spirit. We've got to be people filled up with God's presence. Otherwise, number one, our creativity just becomes imitation. I mean, when you're in the flow and God's speaking to you and you know you have this vision, this strength, this desire for what God's put inside of you, and you got to release it out creatively. I mean, you're in tune with God's Holy Spirit. And yeah, you're influenced by other stuff, but what's coming out of you is pure. It's a pure song. It's a pure story. It's a pure invention at work. It's a pure solution to a problem. It's a pure perspective on an opportunity. But when you're not in the flow of God's Holy Spirit, when you're not in the presence of God, man, you don't have real creativity. You have imitation. Your worship song sounds like every other worship song. You know, your painting looks like every other crummy painting. Your business idea, it's just a ripoff of an idea somebody else had, and it's not going to go anywhere, or if it does, it won't satisfy, because you're trying to do God's game plan without God's presence. And the presence is everything, yeah? Number two, without God's presence, we struggle to find meaning. And instead, we give ourselves over to despair, to nihilism. We go, this is stupid. What's the point, man? What's the point of being a good husband? What's the point of saving money? What's the point of going to school? What's the point of showing up and going to church? You see, without an understanding that the presence of God is what sacralizes and saves and sanctifies everything, nothing is worth saving. And nothing is sacred. And nothing matters. Because we find our ultimate inspiration, we find our ultimate enjoyment in God. So you take God out, take out all the meaning. Number three, without the presence of God, your vocation turns into a job. Like, I've known some amazingly happy and fulfilled teachers who love to teach, who show up to work every day with a sense of optimism and enthusiasm, who create experiences for their kids, who believe the best in their kids, who look for the underperformers and come alongside them, who find the high achievers and celebrate them. They love teaching. I've known a lot of teachers who hate teaching. And you wonder why they're inflicting themselves on the school system. I mean, they're rough. And what's the difference? Well, for you, for me, the difference is the presence of God. The work we do with God enlivens us. The work we do without God kills us and exasperates us. Number four. Without God's presence, your family becomes an obligation and you resent them. Man, if you're not walking in step with the Spirit of God, if you're not inviting and cultivating the presence of God, I mean, to renew your mind, to purify your heart, to guide your steps. I mean, if you're trying to do this thing on your own, man, if you're trying to do family, to put in God's game plan without God's presence, man, you're going to hate it. You're going to be like, oh man, I got to be with my kids all day again. This is crazy. When is this stupid situation going to be over? When is summer going to be over? When is COVID going to be over? When are these kids getting back to school? I'm so tired of them. You know my parents like that? I mean, not you. Of course not. You love your kids. They're a great joy. But your crummy neighbor. In fact, you know what? Probably your brother. Your brother's probably a terrible dad. No. See, if you're not walking in step with the Spirit of God, family becomes an obligation. And I don't just mean parenting becomes an obligation. Siblings become an obligation. Your parents become an obligation. Your extended family, that it all becomes a chore. Because you're just trying to do the family thing, trying to convince yourself to like it. But you can't find satisfaction in it, in God's game plan, until you find joy in God. God's game plan, without God's presence, well, that's going to make you feel like you're just going to start over and over and over again. You're like Cain over in the land of Nod, east of Eden, just trying to jumpstart everything. And you got no likelihood of success. Number five, without a sense of God's presence, you got no adventure. You're just bored. You're just bored. You know when little kids are on summer break, you know, and like really healthy little kids, they always want to go play in the woods. Really healthy little kids, they want to go run around the neighborhood and cause mischief. Really healthy little kids, you know, they're rambunctious. But, you know, unhealthy kids, man, they're just bored all the time. It could be a beautiful sunny day, you could be at the beach, and they could just sit there and sort of flip one seashell in the air going, I'm so bored. Same is true with adults. A sense of God's presence gives you eyes of opportunity, gives you an imagination gives you a sense that anything is possible. The absence of God's presence just means you go, oh gosh, I can't wait to get a drink. I can't wait to go home. I can't wait to put my feet up and just relax. Oh man, there's more to it than that, bro. There's more to it than that. And last but not least, sense of God's presence turns romance into conflict. Or pardon me, sense of God's presence can rescue your conflict back into romance. This is God's presence that renews marriages. It's God's presence that restores hearts. It's God's presence that gives us the great ability to start all over again and to let go of past grievances, past injuries, and past wrongs and move on. It's the presence is everything. The presence is everything. God gave us this world and told us to fill the earth and to subdue it. He said, go out and do whatever you want. And Cain tries, right? I mean, he starts out with this woman. They start a family. Later on, Cain's descendants, we're told, they're the first technologists. They're the first tool makers. That's what the earliest technology was, of course. They're the first architects. They're the first horticulturalists. They're the first agriculturalists. I mean, Cain's descendants, they do all this stuff, but they do it without God. So what good is it? It's nothing. It's nothing. And you and I, man, we're running the same risk. We're running the same risk. So friends, what we've got to do is cultivate the presence of God by every moment, inviting the Spirit of God to speak to us. Every moment, inviting the Spirit of God to guide us. Every moment, having some portion of our spirit, some portion of our thoughts tuned, attenuated to God. Say, okay, Lord, speak to me. What do you want me to do? What do you want to happen? What are you saying? Where do we go? We cultivate the presence of God, and then we practice it. Man, when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're walking in the steps of the Lord, you just acknowledge it and enjoy it, man. Because that's what life is for. Your life isn't meant to be endured, but enjoyed. Your job isn't meant to be endured, but enjoyed. Your family's not meant to be endured, but enjoyed. Your business isn't meant to be endured, but enjoyed. And we enjoy life. We experience God's blessing when we follow God's game plan. And we work with God to heal the world in His presence, with His help and for His glory. So, grace and peace, everybody. I thank you so much for the privilege of sharing the Scripture with you today, and I pray that the Lord renews and enlivens your soul. Amen.